Thank you, Jesus. We magnify you and glorify you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you, Father, for these and those that are watching. We ask you now, those that are hearing by sound, the MP3s, we ask you to bless. Touch their hearts, open their hearts. For Lord, you're doing something awfully profound in these last days inside of our hearts and getting us ready for something that we have never experienced before. We thank you. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are on the 11th lesson. And tonight's lesson is on Onward Christian Soldiers. The title name is A Narrow Way. A Narrow Way. For years, I've never taught series like I have in the last couple of years. I'm listening. That is not just something that we do just because we're doing it. It's just because of the way the Holy Spirit's doing things. Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn there together. I've already got it in front of me, but I'd like for you to look at it in your Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. I'm going to read what is our foundation scripture for tonight concerning a narrow way. Jesus said this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Everybody say this with me, narrow is the way. Praise God. Okay. When we talk about the path, and I will say this, we've said this before, and this is really the premise of tonight. I mean, this is the foundation. The closer we get to the revival, the outpouring, the manifestation of the kingdom of God in its fullness, the closer we get to that, the path does get more narrow. It gets more narrow. God is honing us in to a place of receiving something that has not been probably received since the second or third century. But this path is getting more narrow all the time. Now, when we speak of a narrow way, we often mystique it. I'm going to stay close to my notes because we've got a lot to cover tonight, and then we got a handout that we're going to give you a little bit later in the service, so I've really got to get to that part. I know what my assignment is. When we speak of a narrow way, we often mystique it only in the realm of walking in more righteousness, and that is a truth, okay? Usually, I don't know what maybe popped in your head or if you thought much about it, but when we say a narrow path, one of the first things that we think of, which is not wrong, is that we walk closer to the life of the new nature and the dictates of the new nature, which is living a life of righteousness. And that is correct. That is not incorrect. So this path is getting us in a more narrow, those that are on it, a more narrow path. And part of that is following the dictates of the born-again nature, which is walking in more righteousness, not that you become more righteous in your inward man. You're born fully righteous. It's you taking that part of you that is birthed in full maturity of righteousness and conquering all the aspects of the flesh, the soul. And that's where you interact with more righteousness or living a life that is more holy and is a narrow path. But that's not everything for us to understand on where he wants us as a body, and especially as maturing as elders, and elders that if you're listening to this and you listen and you follow our YouTube channel, you may have a home church, or you may be even already relating to us as your home church. And we just gave an announcement a little bit ago, just a few moments ago, that in the not too distant future, we will be live streaming, so you'll be able to be a part of every one of our services. But or not, however you relate, for those especially that are here that are helping us birth this, the way is getting narrower. It's not getting narrow as in bondage, but more liberty. But you'll see what I'm talking about as we go forward. That is a truth concerning righteousness, but only part of the truth. So let's talk about grace on this path. As in this aspect that we're just right now introducing, that this path is getting more narrow. Let's talk about grace for just a moment. The subject of grace, as is defined by the Word of God. True grace, okay? The grace that we understand is grace that empowers you to live above sin. The popular form of grace is grace that gives you the permission to sin. Worlds of difference. But the grace that we're understanding, I'll tell you, even in the walk that we're on as a group, that grace, let me just talk about grace then and now. When you say then and now, I'm talking about grace as in my understanding or what grace was to us as a group coming in then. And when I say then, I'm talking about in our conception. I don't know how long you've been around, but let's just say when we began 20 years ago, we understood the message of grace and those who taught us the message of grace, and we went through the Word of God, and we understand that it's far more. It is God's unmerited favor, but it's far more for us. It's the empowerment of His strength, what Paul defined grace. It's the empowerment of His strength traded off for our weaknesses, so we go to the next place. Sin does not depress us. It doesn't control us. We walk in all that He is, and His grace empowers us to live free. Amen? That's always been an understanding of ours, but as we have walked forward in this, the maturity of true grace, the true message of grace, brings an escalation to the immediate interchange of grace. And I'll explain that. I'm not trying to be just big wordy there. Understanding grace and maturing in grace for all of us that are growing in it, and the testimony of how it works and the surety of it and all the messages that go along with it now empowers those that are coming in to interchange or interact so much more quickly with this grace for change to take place. Any of the leftovers, okay, you get born again, okay? According to Scripture, the moment that you get born again, you are free from sin. I mean totally free. If there's anything that has to be worked out, there is provision for that through grace. But true to form, you are immediately set free. I mean, you're set free from any addictions, pornography, lust of the flesh. It's not like you get saved and that puts you on a journey to getting set free. You're free then. That's it, okay? The other part, the part of grace is that when you don't realize, for whatever reasons that of rebellion that's still locked up on the inside of you, there is grace that will employ all of the benefits of the Word and of the Spirit to help you, hopefully, very soon, root up, root out, and live what you've been called to be. And that's totally, totally free. Grace has grown in us, or the maturity of grace has grown in us for those of us that are part and partisan to this and bringing others into it. In other words, how can I say this? I really need help. Really need help. Not from you, but from him, okay? You could probably help too. We all have testimonies. I think we could all have testimonies. We've even heard testimonies of some of the men that we really respect tremendously that have taught in here, that had addictions of the flesh, habits, not necessarily things that would send you to hell, but just things that the new nature sets you free from, okay? They've walked free from those things, but it took years. Now they look back in the maturity of the grace that they've come to, and we all could have this testimony, and we say this: what we've come to know about the power of the new nature and the grace of God that is provided from the very beginning in this walk, the people that say, look, it took me X amount of time, whether that was, I don't even want to give, whatever, okay, years maybe, a few years or a number of years, to walk free. We're seeing now from the maturity of everything that this path is bringing us to, and all of the building blocks that you're hearing on a weekly basis, we're seeing ourselves and other people say, man, if I knew then what I know now, I'd have got past it overnight. We now say the grace is still grace. So anybody that comes in our midst who's got a thing, they're truly born again, but they need to be set. They need to really. It's not that that grace won't tarry with them like it tarried with us from the beginning. They're not shortchanged on where we've come to. But what we have to impute to them in knowledge and wisdom and the maturity of this message, if they take hold of it, they don't have to. It's the old message that Pastor Dave used to talk about, the sower overtaking the reaper. You don't have to wait. We knew from a long time ago that the life of the new nature set us free, but now all of the teachings and that have been building and building and building, and the revelation knowledge has now brought us into a place of maturity of grace that the people coming in now, it's not that we're going to say, look, you don't have any time to change. It's just that they benefit in a maturity of the message and the knowledge of grace that we're able to give to them, that they can change now overnight. That part we got, okay? Wonderful. I believe you did. So you helped me. Thank you, Lord. I've got, how can I, okay, this is more. This is more example of what I'm saying, okay? And you'll this all come together later when we pass out some sort of the Spirit prophecies, and you'll watch it, you'll see it. You'll say, okay, I understand. There are people, and praise God, I'm preaching this message. I love preaching messages when I'm not trying to fix an issue. But at the same time, when there is an issue, you've got, if you do it in love, you can fix things. But I just really enjoy it when, you know, I'm free, and I'm always free, and you're always free. But there are people, and we all run into them in the kingdom and in church, that they're never changing by this grace. Nathan said the vernacular of his generation is, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. I've got a emoji on my phone. I used it the other day. It's some of you that's got the iPhone, you've probably seen it. It's a stick man, and he's bent over like this. And the caption, and he's walking, and the caption, and he's cowing down. He's like cowing down, and he's like, okay. He's just like, that's the stick man. He's just a stick man. I could draw him. He's like, okay. I use that. It's a submission. Okay, I'm having to submit. I did it the other day because Candy and I were keeping our two beautiful granddaughters. And the most wonderful thing about grandparents, being grandparents, is you just love them, enjoy them, and then in about 24 hours, you get to ship them out. That is so cool. That is so wonderful. That's wonderful. Mm. And they were really being just babies. One's just turned six. The other was 2.5. But, man, they were wound up that night. I don't know if we gave them too much. You know, I don't know what we may have given them too much sugar or something. I don't know what it was. It's our fault. But they were, like, bouncing, boom, 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 boom. And so I was texting Amber, and I was like, you know, I see why now you got, because we give them date nights, too. You know, we'll keep them on the weekend. That's our pleasure. And we interchange on the weekends with both daughters. And one weekend, you know, you get the picture. So it was Amber's weekend. So we said, I said, I understand now why you love your date night and your night away from these girls. And she texted me back and she was like, you know, we just left, where was it? Outback. We just left Outback and we had a wonderful steak and we enjoyed ourselves and everything's quiet and we're just enjoying our evening and quietness and Papa, you just go ahead and have a good time with the girls. And I was like, and so I text her back, okay. There are people that I meet even in church often, and even after I've ministered the truth to them a number of times, I don't have to, and I won't even ask them anymore, how are you doing? Because when they meet me, they're not physically like this, but I know in the spirit, they're like, okay, I'm still bowing down to this thing no matter what you've told me about grace. And I can't fix that. And you can't fix that. There's no way. Nobody hurts. Well, you might as much, but no more, hurts to see MIAs, missing in action people. I just love people. I hate to see people leave us. I never have the attitude like good riddance. If I see that they're gone for a while, you know, I'll invariably give them a call, see if there's anything. And nobody has ever told me I hate you and you've ruined my life or anything. They just, you know, if they stop coming, they stop coming. And we understand, you know, we love them. It's just the flesh for whatever reason. I called. I'm going to incriminate my associate. I called Homer the other day. I said, because there was an MIA, and I had seen that they were gone, and I had reached out to them, and we had called and loved on them, and then they made a cameo appearance, and then MIA for a long time now. And so I wanted to touch bases with Homer and see, just compare notes, because I know they reach out too, and yeah, they had done the same thing and, you know, got pretty much the same responses. And those kind of conversations are never to talk about people. There's like, how can we rescue them? And he said something that, you know, it's the truth. It's just simplistic. He said, you know, Pastor, the people that I was encouraging 10 years ago to come on, let's go on this walk, on this path. They're the same people 10 years later that still need the same encouragement. So I incriminated Homer. So, but it's the truth. The path gets narrower, and so what I'm trying to say is this. We're in a place where God is showing us what grace is about and how to help people, but at the same time, we understand that there's only certain. I've told our millennials, I've told our young guys, our young men, we had the young men's meeting, and I was fortunate to speak at that, and Homer and Rosie, they reach out to the young men and young women, all of them, and I love them all the same. But I told him at that meeting, I said, look, the sins of the flesh of the young men, it's okay for you guys to talk about it once or twice to encourage each other. But after that, all it is a pity party and an encouragement to do the same. That's all it is. And once, I really agree with Gary Carpenter, he says the more he goes into God, the less he sees any need for counseling. Because once you understand that we have been empowered with a great counselor. Now, I don't want to take away from my office, and man, I'm willing to talk at any time, but once I've shared once or twice, there is no need. If you stay in that, you want to stay in that. And the grace of God that is empowering us now is getting narrow and narrow. And it's not that we say, we don't love you anymore. We can't, you know, if someone says, I'm really ready, then God will show us that they're really ready. But just to talk about what we've already talked about when you already know, there's no need. We're forsaking that. That's a path that no longer we walk on. Hallelujah. There is a point of excess encouragement. Past that point, you can actually be part of the aiding, you know, and abetting. You're actually making them think, and you got to watch that even in your fellowship. Sometimes I've fellowshipped with people and said, like, maybe if I just fellowship with them, maybe I can pull them out of this. There's a point in time where everybody chooses if they're going to do it or if they're not going to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you. The path gets more narrow in how we think. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1:10. I just want you to see it in your Bible. Paul said this in chapter 1, verse 10. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Did you see that? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions. Now see, here's a recipe for revival right here. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There's three things that Paul desired there, said, and we just read it. You can underline it, underscore in your Bible. Three things that Paul desired is that we speak the same, that we think the same, and that we judge the same. Amen. Now, just part of speaking and thinking and judging the same, I'll say this, just in the subject of faith, or just in the subject of the reality of the kingdom realities that we've been preaching lately about how immediate they are, okay? Now, we have the same mind concerning faith. Let's say that. This is a group going forward. Smith Wigglesworth, they said, Smith Wigglesworth, this man that raised all these people from the dead, they said, how do you ever get to where you're at? He said, it's this, Matthew 4:28, I'll read it for you, in 29. He said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, Jesus said this is in Mark chapter 4, immediately he putteth forth a sickle, because the harvest has come. But his description of faith and miracles and going to where he had arrived at was the blade, the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. In other words, he was talking about a 30, 60, 100-fold, a growth process. We understand that, and we say yay and amen to that, because that's where we have been. We've been growing for the last 20 years. But I will say this, in that truth, contained in that truth, the once, now we're talking about the sword of the Spirit for a moment, the once present tense, or the once present day speaking word of the Lord was to us, speaking to the family prayer center, it was to us, there's fruit, there's grapes over there in the promised land, and even though you're not there yet, continue to persevere for one day. I'm not making light of this. This was where we've been. One day you will possess it, and that's that growth, the 30, 60, the blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. That had been our meat or our manna. That's what we've been eating for the last 20 years. That truth is a present truth for any group that is at that point. In other words, wherever you're at, if you're at the blade and you're saying, one day, that's a truth. And you got to go from the blade to the ear to the full corn in the ear. But listen, we are at a place that this is no longer our manna. We are at a present day speaking, the present day speaking word of the Spirit is this: arise, let us go forth, for we are more than able to possess the land. It's now. Okay? It's now. Let's go ahead and put in the sickle and believe for the harvest. In other words, I have, and it's a true word. We've encouraged, and we're never going to throw away the endurance prophecy. We've got to go even that, because there's another levels that we're, but the level that we're at now is this: the Holy Spirit has brought us to a present day understanding of the kingdom of God, that for me to say, hey, look, there's revival out there. There's places that we can get to where little kids can get out of a wheelchair. We've been saying that for 20 years. That's the grapes that they brought back. That's good. But that's old manna. The present day manna is this: you're over there now. Do it. Heal them. Get them up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We must think, or we must speak, think, and judge the same. Everybody say amen? Okay. We must speak, think, and judge the same. And I'll say that saying this: how important it is for us to receive this revival, speaking the same things, thinking the same ways, judging the same way. We are not robots. And I never expect you to be zombies. Like, okay, I said it. How often do I myself and Homer and the men and women of God that stand here say, get into this word. Get into this word. I don't expect you to just take it just because I said it, but you are here because you believe in this ministry and you believe that I go before the Lord, I seek the Lord, I meditate the word and pray in the Spirit, and that we're giving you something that's truth. Hallelujah. As I said, now let me talk about this, just because this is important for us, because I'm training elders here. Not just the elders that are here, but I'm training future elders, okay? And if I know I'll live long enough that it's very possible that I'll be trained. I'm training you guys to go to nobody's supposed to sit the same, be the same. The millennials that are here are so supposed to be being trained for eldership, fatherhood, and I'll live long enough that I'll train your sons and daughters to be elders. Okay? I don't know about your grandkids, maybe. But we're in a training process. So with that understanding, let's just talk about how that that questions are handled. Like, say, for instance, this path is getting narrower and narrower. Let me do this. I think this is going to serve. Is this chair detached? Okay. And I need one more. Can you give me one more? Okay. If you come, let's say this, questions. Let me give an example of how a true question, like say for instance, if we are to, what are we supposed to be doing? What did Scripture say to us? Think, speak, and judge. All of us, the same, the same. Now that's a formula for revival. We're supposed to be speaking the same, repeating the same doctrine, thinking the same way, and when it comes to judgment, in other words, when judgment comes to you, somebody comes to you to judge something or ask your opinion, you're not going to give them your opinion, you're going to give them judgment, true judgment. Okay, so if our path is getting narrower, how do elders think? How do future elders think? Well, let me share this. As I said before, no one's ever expected to be a robot, to be a zombie. But as I said, okay, here's if once something comes from here, and then there's a question, a true question, okay? This is my disposition. It may not be my physical posture. We may not talk like this. We may be over a phone. But a true question, like on the path that we're on, or what is being presented on the path that we're on, will be handled like this. It always has been in my heart. It will be laterally, like you sitting here, okay? You understand that? Why? Because if you're listening, I'm sitting in a seat, and a seat is beside of me up at front. Your questions to me as, what do we believe? I don't quite get this. I don't understand that. Will never come from my position here. I'll never relinquish my position as a pastor, but I'll never speak down to you like, you better believe what I'm telling you because I am the pastor. That's not how a question is settled. A question is settled laterally, like, okay, now I've got my Bible. You sit here laterally because we're in this thing together. We're soldiers marching together. Okay, so what's your question? What's your concern? What don't you understand? What would be your contention if you said it that way? So I got my Bible. You get yours. What do you got? This is not demeaningly, but what do you got? What's your take on this? And normally my disposition is three witnesses, because the Word says out of the mouth are two or three witnesses. Like say for instance, if you didn't understand, you're like, man, I don't agree with this. Then, not in an intimidation way, I'd say, okay, what kind of witnesses do you have? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. In other words, you don't have one isolated scripture that you're trying to present. Gary says he likes three witnesses. I do too. Two out of the new and at least one out of the shadow. Okay? So, if you said, okay, well, I'd say, okay, well, show me what you got. Because, maybe I can understand. That's the right position to take. Now, if somebody said, no, I don't want to get into Scripture. I just don't like the way that things are going. I just don't agree with it. Well, I can't go there. You've got to come up where I'm at. I can't go there. We can't even, that is not even a, that, that I can't even begin. That's flesh. That's opinion. That's ideas. The only thing that we can discuss, come let us reason together, and the reasoning is based on the logic of God's Word. That's all we can settle any issue on. Do you understand that? Why are you saying these things? Not because there's any issue out there, but because we're training elders, and we're training you guys to be future elders. And this is what why we say we can come to a place and we must think, speak, and judge all the same at all times. Well, I got some. I think you're all saying amen in your heart. Hallelujah. John, 1 John, turn to 1 John, chapter 2. Okay, I think we're doing pretty good. We're almost done with this portion. John classifies the church. And in chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, and we can't teach. There's so many different rabbit trails we could go on, but we got to speak specifically to the point that he's at right now. John classifies this. He says, I write unto you, verse 12 in chapter 2, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Understand this, that John actually is, in that portion, John classifies three levels of believers in the church. And since there is no male or female in Christ, then John was speaking to both genders when he spoke of fathers and young men. Does everybody get that? Because he's not, there's no male or female in Christ, okay? So he wasn't leaving out the young ladies, and he wasn't leaving out, see, in here, our women serve as elders on a co-authority basis as the men, because there's no male or female in Christ. So John had to, he knew that there's no male or female in Christ, so he had to be including both genders in this. Fathers become generals in the army of the Lord. Fathers are the judges that judge at the city gates, always speaking the same thing and judging the same judgments. Does everybody got that? Fathers can be fathers being male or female, okay? Just like I said, we are the bride of Christ, guys, but women, you are kings, okay? And you're not queens, okay? You are sons. You're not daughters. Don't have scripture for it, so we can't create it, okay? We just stick to scripture. These judges are the Deborahs. Judges, you don't have to turn there. 4:4 says, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lepidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Elders speak the same. Why? Because they think the same thing, and they judge the same. They may have their own vernacular, okay? I like nuances. I like the way that some people say certain things, okay? And I get it. Well, I might be saying the same thing that they're saying as long as we don't change the foundation. That's the main thing. And we should all be speaking the same thing because we're following the same doctrine, thinking the same way, and then judging everything the same. In other words, when somebody comes to you, and I'm not trying to point, I'll tell you, this is how I've thought before in the past. People say, what would Jesus do? That's fine. But Paul also said, follow me as I follow Christ, okay? I've oftentimes, especially in the beginning of my ministry, I've thought when people come to me, when they'd say they want a judgment on certain areas, I'd think, now how would Pastor Dave counsel them in this. It's all right. I'll tell you, it's all right for you to think, if you know an elder, especially your pastor, or you know other elders in here, they're on this path and speak, it's all right for you, and you should think when people come to you and they ask your opinion, I don't have an opinion, but this is what the word, and you answer it like, I think this is what pastor would say. I think this is what Homer would say. I think this is what Gay would say. I think this was somebody that's really following and speaking the same thing. Listen. Okay. Okay, Lord. Okay. Well, because you agree. And there I don't have an agenda. A sheep will never hear the contention of an elder. Did you hear that? Somebody that's a sheep, will never ever hear of, it'll never get down the grapevine of the contention concerning doctrine or the path. The sheep will never hear it from an elder. Well, Pastor, I think I heard somebody that you have thought was an elder, or I thought, listen, that's why we don't do a lot of eldership around here. We let you decide who's the elders, because they speak, say, and judge the same way. Well, Pastor, I've heard some people that I thought was listen, let me repeat it again. You'll never hear an elder, a true elder. Okay, let's give him a bad hair day. But they will never, for the sake of a threefold cord not being broken, an elder will never speak his voice or her voice in the open in contention against the path that we're on. If they have any contention, and that's not the right word, if they have any true question, they'll come. How can that only be settled in this place, right? It can only be settled in this place. Paul actually said, listen, here's a good scripture. I know you're getting quiet on me, but what I'm saying is truth. Amen? And there's no agenda. Praise God. Paul said this, and this is really kind of the meat of this is even deeper, but I'm talking about you guys coming to a place. I'm pointing to these future elders and all the elders out here. They already know this, and we're all growing in this on the same path. Paul said this, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing but doting. That's an amazing word. Doting about questions, strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, and evil surmisings. Now, the full listic, I gave you a synopsis or a abbreviated part of that. I will tell you, in all truth, that's really somebody that's way beyond even what I'm talking about right now. But I can say this, that in this path that we're on, this is why I'm saying this for the future. It's so important that we speak, think, and judge the same way. That word doting means they have doting questions. Even if a person is not openly saying things against the message, if they're having doting questions, like they're saying it out in the open, like, I don't understand why. I don't understand why pastor's preaching that. I don't understand. And they're saying it openly. Those are doting. The word in the Greek means that they are, what is that word? Okay, I wrote it down. I want to, They are harping. The Greek says they're harping on it. Hallelujah. They've got to go to the bathroom. They're not mad. I wasn't talking to them. Harping questions. Hallelujah. All right. Glory. Elders and training. So that's vitally important. The sword of the Spirit. Rex, can you pass out those handouts that the Lord had us to give out tonight? There we go. Thanks a lot, Robert. We've got some prophecies that have recently come. Now, last week we were in, can you move these, please? Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'll give you just a minute to get these prophecies. Last week we were going over what the sword, the offensive sword of the Spirit was. Now, I gave out some prophecies last week, and we're not going to cover those. We covered half of those. They're yours to keep, but we're going to cover a few tonight that we recently heard the Lord speak in our services, and we're going to talk about just for a moment the sword of the Spirit. I mentioned Sunday, and I thought it was a really good question. And that Harry brought up, he called me or texted me, and he said, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. He goes, the prophecies that have ever been given to me personally before, he said, are you saying that the sword of the Spirit is to take those and turn them into a confession and wield them? I said, man, that's perfect. I mean, I really couldn't have said it better myself. And that really gives us a, you know, case in point. And so as we read these and as I go over them tonight, you'll hear some of why that other that just seemed a little sobering and nobody was being gotten onto, but it is so important. I mean, everything that we said was the exact word of God and done in love, but it's so important that we understand how important it is to stay on this path and that we're all speaking the same thing. And praise God, we're not zombies, okay? Because if there was ever a point where, see, you couldn't understand, we gave the example of how that's fixed. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'll go another step, okay? This will get real radical. Even if an elder ever compared scriptures and still disagreed, you'd never hear from them. The body would never hear from them. That's an exact truth. Hallelujah. Why did I not get it? I got some. Okay. Why? Because we're speaking the same thing. They would never forsake or never jeopardize a threefold cord for what they felt. I've never had that situation. I've never run into it, but I'm saying in the extreme. After an elder sat down and compared notes, if they are an elder, they would never go out and speak to the body, I don't agree with what's being said. Hallelujah. Glory. So let's look at this one that the Lord gave us. And then you can use these things. Prophecy can be corporately or privately can be used as sword of the Spirit that you can willed to take part of. This took place, this particular prophecy took place in some of those soaking services, and I'll just read for you, and you can follow along, and you can take notes if the Lord so directs you now, but you can take this home with you. The service is coming, present tense, real close at hand. The Lord says, I will speak a word of personal prophecy to almost everyone in the building. Prepare your hearts. Get ready. I'll strike the stone. saith the Spirit of grace, with the sword of my spirit, as it is written, and as Paul said unto Timothy, to war with the prophecies that went before him. I love that. That's in 1 Timothy. And he talks about warring. That's just what Harry was asking. I mean, that's how Timothy had to do it. He had to take the prophecies and turn them into something that was personal for him to survive his pastorate at Ephesus. I say unto you that as many as will be hungry will receive, and as many as will be open will receive. And not only will the word of the word be word of strong rhema and strength, but it will strike a blow against the very enemy of your soul, saith the Spirit of grace. So stand in great anticipation of what is coming. How many of you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Hear my voice even now, for I speak unto you in that inward place personally and privately. Prepare a way before me through your prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks, saith the Spirit of grace. Avail yourself. Give yourself over to prayers, to intercession, and giving of thanks. For I desire to visit you in the night and to stir your heart and pull some of you out of bed. Oh, my. Amen. Marty's waving at me. Marcia's got a big smile. I know some of you, you know, y'all just, you know, Lord, I get up early. Don't pull me out in the middle, okay? Okay. But some of these women and some of these guys, yeah, get Marty and get Marcia. And stand on the wall and pray for that which is coming. I desire to visit many of you in dreams. Okay, some of you need to start saying, Lord, I'm open to dreams. I'm not going to create them, but I'm open to dreams. Okay? Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit for dreams and visions. Hallelujah. Not the dreams of the foolishness that has come to much of the church through agendas and self-made ambitions, but as I desire to come to you and give you dreams and visions, visitations of my spirit beyond anything that you've ever known or hitherto have anticipated. Seek me. Seek my face. Not the miraculous, the out of the ordinary. Seek me. All right, everybody know we're not seeking miracles. We're seeking God. Seek me, but in that you will find a spiritual level that rises in your life. These things will be private, and then when you're called upon, I'll leave my hand upon you, and you will share them. You will share them in a maturity and in strength and in honor to me, bringing no honor to yourself, but I desire people of maturity. For this is the time, saith the Spirit of grace, to stand on guard, beginning with your family first, and then what I have called you as a part of the fellowship, it's all one. Do not look to the right. Do not look to the left. This is not a time to sit down, lay down, or take your ease. For I fill you with grace, and my grace is strength. And my strength invigorates you for what? For that which is at hand. Take no thought saying, let the words of your mouth be of the meditation of your heart. Let them be the repeating of that which is in your heart. Think not to say, when you have said things contrary to my word, I don't know where that came from. That's amazing. Hallelujah. All of us have said things just real contrary. And we say, well, I just don't know where that came from. Well, I do. It's coming from a place inside. For it did come from a place. It came from a place of unmeditated words and visions and imaginations. My cleansing is available. Then meditate on those things that you'll speak. Words of life, words of peace, words of strength, and words that hold up a standard over your family and your church. Folks, are we on a narrow path? Hallelujah. I love every one of you to pieces. We're going to do this. Bring forth this fruit unto me, saith the Spirit of grace, for I desire a great harvest. You're the ones who will make it happen. For there is no male or female in the Spirit. For I have bought you with my own blood and brought you forth to stand as generals and elders in the house of God, to bring forth great grace in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation. Do not judge after the outward appearance. You see, now he's talking about all this stuff, and I had no idea he's going to have you do this service when these things were prophesied. But do you see how he's talking about the elders and the judges and speaking basically, I'm hearing him say this, speaking the same things. Do not judge after the outward appearance, but bring forth the wisdom that comes from the internal golden man. Internal golden man on the inside of you. Let those things come up from a place knowing when reason is in the order of the when, okay, excuse me. Let those things come up from a place of knowing when reason is the order and multitudes of thoughts weary your mind. You can bet that that's the path that leads you astray. Now, I can tell you, nobody's under condemnation about these kinds of battles. We've all been there. When your mind gets super busy, that's not from God. When your mind gets quiet, listen, when you think you've come up with a whole bunch of good ideas, you're probably in left field. Okay? But when peace comes, thoughts are clear, concise, and sure, saith the Spirit of grace. Let this be your guidance. Let the gospel of peace lead you, guide you into all truth, and my word is truth, saith the Spirit of grace. Now, this is another prophecy. Did this come forth on the same day? Okay, it's the same. Okay. Don't isolate yourself. It's another one, yes. The peace that you feel, now this all came during this time. That might have been the next service. Yeah. But we had one of those soaking times. The peace that you feel in my presence, and he was talking about all of us that were part of that service, is the confirming of my love to you. It's the confirmation of my healing power on the inside. It's the cleansing, saith the Spirit of grace. Know this, that nothing is held against you, but I desire to heal you spirit, soul, and body. I hold nothing against you. But as a father, this presence brings forth a confirmation of my love to you. Every mistake of the past is gone. Let my presence continue to wash you. Let my presence continue to confirm to you my greatest desire, which is to love you and to confirm myself to you, saith the Spirit of grace. I'm reaching out to you, saith the Spirit of grace, to those ones isolated out there. Come on in. Come on in, saith the Spirit of grace. Now listen, even to those of you that are following this service tonight, that spirit of isolation is rampant in the earth. It wants to isolate people. How can I do this? Do you know what it feels like? I don't want to miss that. I'm right here in the middle of the prophecy. I can tell you what the spirit of isolation. Do you ever walk in a room and there's nothing that anybody's ever done? I mean, nobody's talking about you before you walked in or anything, and you just feel that barrier. You feel that isolation. It's a spirit that wants to cut people off. And maybe nobody did anything. It's a spirit that divorces couples. They come home and they don't even know why. They just don't want to even be in their presence anymore. She didn't do anything, he didn't do anything. It's just like you just feel yuck, alienated. And when people walk in the church and they say, we confess, we follow when Gay says it for 20 years or however many years now, that there's a spirit that come here, my mind someplace else, you'd have to help me, but there's an atmosphere as soon as they come in, they feel the presence of God. From the first song sung to the first prayer prayed, okay, that whole thing. I know that we love people. But especially people that are MIAs that have been here, they'll come in and they'll leave because that spirit of isolation and that spirit of alienation, and they don't even know why. It's a demon. But if you start thinking about it and trying to figure out why you feel like you feel, then you'll start coming up with reasons. It'll be somebody's fault. It's not mine, it's Homer's. It's Gay's, it's Candy's, it's somebody's. They're devils. That's all they are, is devils. Now, devils will give you reasons. If you start looking for reasons, you'll find them. You will find them. They'll say, well, no, there's a reason behind. No, it's just pure old stinking, good for nothing devils. Yield to me, for I have something that only the Father can give. Only by the expression of my love will you be free, saith the Spirit of grace. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that I may exalt you, that you may be exalted. My exaltation is to lift you high above whatever it is that besets you. If I spare not my own Son, how shall I not with him freely give you all things, saith the Spirit of grace. I gave the very best that heaven had to offer to earth. He agreed to come. I agreed for him to go. It was a perfect agreement. My spirit went with him. There is nothing that my love has afforded you that cannot bring you in and set you free. Don't isolate yourself. Don't allow the spirit of deception. Now, the way you turn any of this, if you were ever going through anything like that, you just pick out a part in this, even if it's one sentence, and say, the Lord said this. I know you're coming to our church, and I know you're coming at us, and I know you're coming at the elders, and I know you're coming at the young men. And see, every one of the young men, and male or female, are going to graduate, if they keep growing, to fathers and mothers. Well, there's no mothers, okay? They're all going to be fathers, okay? And fathers are going to be generals in the body if we all speak and say the same thing. Hallelujah. Not as zombies, but of those who have looked into the Word and said, okay, this is truth. Hallelujah. Now I said this. Now he's talking to me through revelation, and I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit said it through that. In this prophecy about isolation, then the Lord gave me a revelation, and I spoke it out. This was not a thus saith the Lord, but it was still prophetic, in that it described the fall of Satan, and I believe that you can look into the scriptures that the Lord quoted here through this prophetic. It was like, it wasn't a thus saith the Lord, but the truth is contained in this as a summizing of, in our vernacular, in our understanding, this is how the fall of Satan took place, okay? He's talking to me now through the revelation. Yes, sir. I don't know, we don't know how long it was before creation of man, how long it was before creation of man that the angels were created. The Bible doesn't say. It could have been billions of years. It could have been trillions of years. No time with God. But in our earth years, it could have been billions of years that they existed. The only way we get any kind of look into what was and a pre-existence Genesis 1 snapshot is in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And the Lord quoted those at that time. It talks about this, Satan's downfall. I don't know if you know this or not, but you should. But the greatest worshiper of heaven, I mean the one that was right up there and sat on the front row, I mean couldn't get enough of God. He was once beautiful, so beautiful you would have loved him. You would have just loved to be in his presence because of how much he loved God. He wasn't the serpent then. His name was Lucifer. That name to us now means something ugly, but then it was something so beautiful. They would have worship services like this. He would sit on the front row, and this is just in our vernacular of understanding, but it doesn't, that's really close when you put Isaiah 14 and 28 together. It's just describing how I saw this revelation. His was a place of consolidation of nothing but God. Nothing but God. He found his existence in God and knew only throughout the millennials a place, a presence. But something began to happen over time. God could not create evil, so God had nothing to do with it. But what God did was to create angels just like he created us with the will. In that will, there is a will to whether or not you'll say, stay in. In that presence and allow yourself to incubate slowly, slowly, slowly. Lucifer found himself over periods of time, and I said this, I don't know how much time that was. It could have been thousands of years or it could have been hundreds of years. He found himself slowly isolating himself. Spiritually speaking, I said spiritually, the Lord said spiritually speaking, sitting further back and further back and further back in the congregation. He was still in worship, the worship service, but there was something inside of him that was isolating himself, and he began to see God in a totally different picture. He began to see that the ones that were worshiping him as in alienated family. In other words, he was distancing himself from God and from those that were worshiping. He couldn't quite see what they saw in worship. Why was it so wonderful to them? Although in times gone by, he felt what they felt. But as things continued to demise, he was still in the worship service, but he sat further and further back. Isolation became the biggest part of who he was. Does that describe isolation? His fall? I'm sure his fall didn't happen overnight. I'm sure he had to begin to basically sit further back, spiritually speaking, in the church. And when that happens, the people that are in the front row, and I'm not talking about the front row, the people that are getting isolated, they can't understand what our big hurrah is about. And that's how it had to be then. It's 9 o'clock. I know it's time basically to go home, but there is, it'll be real quick. What'd you say? Okay, let me give the rest of this, as she said. Good idea. This last part of this. This has destroyed many in the church. For most part, people begin to address it and war with their minds against it. People don't war with your minds against that alienating spirit. Trying to figure it out, what are the physical academics of the reason why? But I say unto you, now this is actually, thus saith the Lord, all this part. I say unto you, it is a spirit. The same spirit, the same mindset, because Satan didn't have a spirit to come to him. It was the same spirit as in mindset that originated with the original fall comes along with that. When people gather people around them to try to supplement their isolation through their own thoughts and process, they give themselves no ability to walk free. But now, this that in this presence, all those who hold to my presence, I, like a father, as I said, as Jesus said concerning me, I have desired to gather you as a hen with her brood and bring you under my wings. I desire to bring for the nourishment. I desire, saith the Spirit of grace, I desire to suckle you as a mother would her babe. I desire to feed you the sincere milk of the word. Don't allow yourself fight. When he said don't allow yourself, in other words, don't allow yourself to fall into that trap. Fight with every fiber of your being every time he shows up to bring forth isolation. The unity that comes in praise and worship brings forth the absolute of my mind for you. I have established you upon my word, and I heal you always in my presence. Everybody say hallelujah. Please read these last two. They are encouragement, because the Lord gave us a thumbs up on our obedience. And this is another one, the helper. My goodness, that's a good one. Candy read that to me today, and that's a prophecy from 2015. I don't think that even came from here, but it came from possibly Tulsa. But my goodness, take that home. Read that in the morning as your devotion or something and meditate on it. Praise the Lord. Please stand with me. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? Yes. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you that we are going forth in your grace, your glory, and your love. Lord, we commit them unto you by your Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.